Siberian-like sub-zero Chicago suburbs. It is still about 15 below with a wind chill of about 30 below. I really appreciate you joining me today on RBN. Their website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit spingola.com, where you will see the names of all the guests that I've had on the program since October 23rd, 2010, as well as links to their websites. Just visit my website and click on the radio schedule button. Please also visit spingolaspeaks.info or spingolaspeaks.wordpress.com for links and files you will not find elsewhere. One of our very talented listeners established those sites to augment information. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by going to spingola.chatango.com. As I indicated yesterday, I am still working on the timeline of book 2 and 3, and I uploaded the changes yesterday. You can see that on my website. Just click on the timeline button. And it's very interesting. It's kind of like a roadmap where you can see the events in history as they occurred in conjunction with other events. And so it's quite interesting. I love timelines. Alrighty, our guest today is Dr. Lorraine Day. She is the author of the recently published book, Who Rewrote the Bible? Her websites are drday.com and goodnewsaboutgod.com. Dr. Day, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Yesterday, somebody in the chat room wrote, "The Holocaust happened to everyone but the Jews." And I thought, wow, that's a profound comment. Of course, we all recognize that, but it just in one statement, it certainly indicates a lot of truth. And yesterday you mentioned that there is a group of people who monitor the internet, visit chat rooms, post articles, all in order to create dissent, or something to that effect.
That's right. It's to pervert the truth that's being put on various websites and in chat rooms, and they put comments after articles to try to dissuade people from believing what the truth is in the article. It's a very concerted effort. People don't realize how organized the enemy is. They are organized and they are everywhere.
And by organization, do you mean like these people are being paid?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
These people are being paid, and to give you another idea, I have done over 1,000 radio shows on health issues, including AIDS, because when I was at San Francisco General Hospital, I operated on more AIDS patients at that time than any surgeon in the country. And I was on almost every national television show and shows in England and Australia. And then when I got well from cancer by totally natural methods, of course, the drug companies were very upset that I was giving information how people could get well from virtually every disease without any drugs, and certainly cancer without chemotherapy, radiation, or mutilating surgery. And so they have their organizations trying to destroy alternative medicine as well. And I was on a radio show in Palm Springs several times, and the host of the radio show called me at home when we were not on the air, and he said, "There's a man in Arizona who happens to be Jewish, and all of the drug companies are owned by Jews." And so he said he admitted it was his job to monitor all alternative broadcasts and report and then try to destroy the credibility of the people on the air. And he would call in only after I was gone. And so the next time I was on this host show, I talked to him directly, and I said, "You're a coward if you don't call in while I'm here. Call in while I'm here and say what you're saying." He was a physician. He was a retired physician. And yet he would call in after I was gone and bash me. And he even started calling my home. Somehow he found out my home, phone number and started calling me and leaving threatening messages. So this is a very well orchestrated effort.
Indeed. Now, you say that all of the drug companies are owned by Jews, and
right.
I tend to believe that absolutely.
Yeah.
And when you consider, according to Gary Null, that 900,000 people die a year as a result of medical intervention.
Right. Well, doctors are the leading cause of death in America. Yeah. But we're not banning doctors, are we?
No. No, indeed.
Doctors are far above guns as a cause of death in America. And we're not banning doctors. Do you know what the healthiest time in America was? It was during World War II. Number one, people ate almost no animal products because they were rationed because they were being sent to the troops. People ate almost no sugar because sugar was rationed. People had no ice cream because ice cream was rationed because of sugar. There was virtually no. I remember I was alive during World War II. And then also everybody was encouraged to grow a garden in their backyard. It was called a victory garden. We all had our victory garden, so we were eating fresh fruits and vegetables, and all the doctors were in the military. So that was the healthiest time in America. Doctors weren't killing people. And I say that I'm a doctor. I'm an MD. I was on the faculty as a professor. I was on the faculty of the medical school at University of California, San Francisco for many, many years. I was chief of orthopedic surgery at San Francisco General Hospital and vice chairman of the department at UC San Francisco Medical School. I have been in the mainstream of medicine, and I'm telling you, we kill people. Okay?
And you're not the first doctor that I've had on the program that has said this.
That's right. Fortunately, I'm an orthopedic trauma surgeon. If you get run over by a bus or you get shot, you need someone like me to put you back together again. And you need someone to, fix broken bones, which is what a trauma surgeon does, and you need someone to operate on birth defects. But with that exception, almost all of other medicine is unnecessary. Because
right.
As I said yesterday, I think we doctors are taught only to do two things. We're taught to give you drugs, which cover up your symptoms and never cure your disease, and because they all have horrendous side effects, they actually cause more diseases. Or else we're taught to cut off your body parts or cut out your organs. None of those things cure disease.
Right.
So, yes, doctors are the leading cause of death in America. And yet everybody loves to go to doctors. But doctors can't cure disease. They don't even know what causes them. You know, when I was in medical school, I started medical school in 1965. I finished medical school in 1969. In our textbooks, after each disease, at the beginning of the section of each disease, they would have something called etiology, which means cause, all right? And then they would have signs and symptoms and diagnosis and then treatment. And that's the way every disease was set up in the textbook. Etiology was almost always an unknown. And because doctors don't know what causes any disease. And so what they put unknown, so after a while, now if you look at the textbooks, they don't even have that category. They don't even talk about etiology because they don't know what causes any disease. But all diseases do not drop from the sky, nor do they just happen, nor are they genetic. Cancer is not genetic. What causes this disease is the way we live, think, act, eat, and handle stress. And we're in charge of that. And all that we need to do to get well from any disease is change the way we live, think, act, eat, and handle stress. But
sure.
Drug companies don't want the people to know that.
Exactly. All righty, we will be right back after a word from our sponsors. She is the author of the recently published book, Who Rewrote the Bible? Her websites are drday.com and goodnewsaboutgod.com. And you were talking about about doctors and the fact that they do not know what caused disease, nor do they know how to treat it, or do they know how to cure it, but they just treat the symptoms. And I've been reading just recently a very interesting book called Side Effects Death, Confessions of a Pharma Insider. And it was written by John V-I-R-A-P-E-N, not sure how to pronounce it. It is absolutely amazing. And he indicates in that book that pharmaceutical companies often invest more than $35,000 or as much as $50,000 per physician in order to get them to prescribe their products. And I'm just going through his book. It is just amazing. And I was talking just in the last couple of days to a person, and I said, well, 900,000 people a year die from medications. And that person said, yeah, but when you figure out that maybe 100 million people are on medications, that's not so bad. And I said, well, the U.S. government bombed Iraq because they accused Iraq of killing 3,000 Americans. Why isn't the U.S. government bombing the pharmaceutical companies? That would make more sense.
Of course, and the reason is that the U.S. government and the pharmaceutical companies are in bed together because the FDA does not control the pharmaceutical companies, which they should. The pharmaceutical companies control the FDA. Virtually every governing agent in the government does not control the groups that they're supposed to. It's the other way around. Because pharmaceutical companies have huge amounts of money that they spread around to the FDA. And in fact, there's a revolving door between the FDA and the drug companies. People in the drug companies get a job in the FDA long enough to get their drug approved, and then they go back to the pharmaceutical companies. To give you a perfect example of this, one of the women that I worked with at San Francisco General Hospital for years, I knew her quite well. I dealt with her almost every day. She was in the infectious disease department. Her name was Julie Gerberding. When AIDS came along, she was getting a lot of funding, as were all the other infectious disease people, from the drug companies and even gay organizations that would raise funds for research on AIDS. Well, the way you stop AIDS is stop doing the things that cause AIDS, but they were looking for a cure so people could continue living the lifestyle that causes disease. And so she eventually, because she was willing to lie on camera, and she and I were on a show together early on in the AIDS epidemic, and she just flat out lied on the show. And as we were leaving, I said, Julie, why did you lie? And she said, well, we have to be careful of the psyche of the AIDS patient. I said, how about all the other people out there that they can infect? Well, that wasn't her concern. Well, she was bowing to peer pressure. Well, eventually, she was appointed head of the Centers for Disease Control because she was a, quote, good soldier and kept quiet about the truth. So then she was head of the whole Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta, which has thousands and thousands of employees. And then when the next president was elected, and because this is an appointed position by the president, and so when the next administration came on, she was no longer head of the CDC. But guess what? While she was at the CDC, she was promoting vaccinations full throttle. Okay. And guess what? Now she has a very lucrative job as head of the vaccination division of one of the major pharmaceutical companies.
Wow. Yeah. And so you, people will do anything in the world for money.
Yes, they will. They will. And so, but you know, when we were talking yesterday, I want to start out today again with an overview. As I said yesterday, people need to not lose sight of the big picture. The big picture is the plan to destroy America and the world economically and exterminate most of the population. That is the big picture, all right? Everybody should read a book by an author named R.J. Rummel. R-U-M-M-E-L. It's called Death by Government, which I think I mentioned yesterday, showing that governments have killed more of their own people than have been killed by invading armies to that particular country. It's going to be the same with America. That is the plan. William Casey, who was director of the CIA, I think under Ronald Reagan, was also a member of Knights Templar. He said in 1981, and I quote, "We will know our disinformation program is complete when everything every American believes is a lie."
How true. Yes.
Okay. So when you think, if you watch mainstream television or listen to mainstream radio news, you're not getting any news. You're getting propaganda. You're getting what the government wants you to believe. And so it's only programs like yours and internet websites like yours and mine and a few others that are telling the truth. And so we're going to be lambasted from all sides because we're telling the truth. So people need to understand the big picture, not get caught up in, oh, why are they doing this and why are they doing that? And don't they know that when they bring in Obamacare and we have to pay these huge fees, that people aren't going to be able to afford that? Of course they know. That's the point.
Indeed.
You know, they have to realize that this is a very effective way to destroy the population financially, especially the middle class. And
right.
That is the goal of the government.
Right. And more, you have a greater chance of dying if you have health insurance than if you don't.
Right. Right. Because doctors kill people. They don't.
Exactly.
The doctors don't do it on purpose. The doctors believe. Let me tell you, the doctors believe what they've been taught. I used to believe what I had been taught. I had a big awakening when I was speaking out about the AIDS epidemic 25 years ago, and somebody started sending me some books, and they said, if you think there's a cover-up in the AIDS epidemic, you should see the cover-up in cancer. And I thought, I didn't know I had cancer at that time, and I thought, oh, that can't be true. Here I am, a professor in one of the best medical schools in the country. If this were true, I would know about it. Except then I thought, but I was fooled about the AIDS epidemic. The government covered that up. So maybe I'll start reading this information. And when I started reading it, I was absolutely blown away. I then started understanding the huge cover-up in everything. Everything.
Indeed, and there is a huge cover-up. Now, cancer, people are just absolutely inspired by the way that you recovered from this dread disease. The picture on your website of that tumor is just, well, it's pretty gross.
Right.
And it must have taken a lot of courage on your part to just say, I'm going
to
take care.
To post that picture?
Well, no.
Well, it did.
Well, maybe.
It took a lot of courage. Yeah, who wants to have themselves looking like that? In fact, it took a long time for me to post it. When I, in my first DVD that I made, which is You Can't Improve on God, which means you can't improve on the way God wants us to take care of our bodies and minds, that picture is not in there because I was too humiliated to show how horrible I looked. But then I was on Art Bell's show a number of times, and he posted that picture on his website. So
oh,
I thought,
goodness.
Well, I guess I've been outed, so I'll put it on mine.
All right, we'll pick this up on the other side of the break. We'll be back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors. Deanna, our guest today is Dr. Lorraine Day. She is the author of the recently published book, Who Rewrote the Bible? Her websites are drday.com and goodnewsaboutgod.com. And you said that Art Bell had posted your photo, and I meant that you're courageous because so many people really would prefer to hand over the responsibility for their bodies to somebody else and have them make the decisions, when in fact, we know more about our bodies than anybody else, and know best, I believe, how to take care of ourselves. You had that courage and that confidence.
Yes and no, people know better how to take care of themselves. Most people aren't informed. I mean, your listeners, I'm sure, are much more informed than many programs. However, people still don't want to change their life. You will notice that even on alternative stations and stations that are telling the truth about politics, people just want to take pills. They don't want to take drugs, but they'll take all sorts of pills rather than really change the source of their illness. Diseases, as I said, are caused by the way we live, think, act, eat, and handle stress. Those are the causes of disease. They're not genetic. Of all the deaths in America every year, there are only about 1/100 of 1% that are caused by genetic diseases. Genetic diseases are things like sickle cell anemia, unusual diseases that you've never heard of, like Tay-Sachs and Charcot-Marie-Tooth. Those diseases, and tooth has nothing to do with your teeth. It was the name of the doctor that helped describe the disease. Those diseases are extremely rare. Cancer is not genetic. Heart disease is not genetic. Autoimmune diseases are not genetic. What we do, we give them to ourselves. I gave myself cancer stupidly, ignorantly. And because doctors don't know how to prevent cancer, and they don't tell patients how to prevent cancer, why would they want to do that? First of all, they don't believe you can prevent cancer, and they think it just kind of drops from the sky, or it was in your ancestors, so, cancer is genetic. No, if you live, think, act, eat, and handle stress the same way your mother or father did who developed cancer, you'll develop the same disease. But we are the only ones who can reverse our disease. Your doctor can't reverse your disease because he can't change the way you live, think, act, eat, and handle stress. You're the only one who can do that. But you've got to get informed. You can't just say, well, I'm going to eat whatever I want. I like what I eat. I like the way I'm angry at people who have wronged me. And then I'll just take some supplements to cover it up. But in the long run, that doesn't work so well. Because you've got to change the stuff that's going on, not only inside what you put in your mouth, but what comes out of your mouth. And what you put in your ears, what you listen to, what you put in your eyes, what you watch and see and read. You've got to change those things. It's not just your diet. You got to change your diet. Because in 1909, the incidence of cancer in America was 3%. 3%. 1 out of 33. By 1985, it was 33%, and now it's over 50%. And they predict that in a decade or two, everybody in America will develop cancer sometime in their lifetime. We are killing ourselves by the way we're eating, living, and handling stress. And people say, oh, well, you know, the environment, quit the environment. It's the environment inside your body and inside your heart and inside your mind. That's what's destroying us. I didn't get well 100 years ago, when the soil was better and when there were less environmental toxins. I got well when the soil was bad and when there were all sorts of environmental toxins. It's what you put in your mind, your heart, your mouth, what comes out of your mouth, and all that. That's what it does. You've got to learn how to live, think, act, eat, and handle stress. Because even the way you think can cause certain substances to be produced in your body that destroy your immune system.
Indeed. And I think that to be an integrated person, integrated meaning that you have integrity, that you're integrated, that you're honest, you've got your emotional world all in sync, the way that you think about other people. I don't think that you can have negative feelings and expect to be well. I think that you have to think good thoughts. And you can think good thoughts and still recognize that there is corruption in the world.
Well, we're supposed to expose evil.
Exactly.
But you can do that in a way that doesn't destroy you.
Exactly.
So, yes, I expose evil all the time, and I am still well from my cancer. My cancer is diagnosed 20 years ago, and I, ever since I got well by totally natural methods, I am still well and cancer free. On top of that, for a year before I was diagnosed with cancer, I was on medication for Parkinson's. All right. When I was diagnosed with cancer, I stopped that medication, and when I got well from my cancer, I also my Parkinson's reversed itself by the same things that reversed my cancer.
Amazing.
Yeah, I have no symptoms of Parkinson's. And on top of that, after I was diagnosed with cancer, I also developed symptoms of multiple sclerosis. I was a mess. All of those symptoms went away. Again, I am totally well, cancer-free. I don't take no medication. I can do anything I did when I was 30.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That is really amazing.
People can be well from every disease, but they have to be willing to change their life. And by the way, if you're sick with cancer, I don't want to lose radio show listeners for you. However, when I was really sick with cancer, I couldn't deal with any of this sort of thing because I was new to it, and the politics we're talking about now, I couldn't deal with it. It made me very anxious and very nervous, and I had to put it aside until I got well, because you need to concentrate all of your energy on things that are good and upright and noble and all that. And then when you get well, then you can go back to this, which I did as well. But you go back to it with a different attitude. You go back with it to expose evil. And, you know, a lot of people don't want to hear about these political things because it frightens them. Well, yeah, it was frightening to me at first. But again, when you understand that the whole plan is that these things should happen, in other words, everybody, the world is going to get so bad. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. The world is going to get so bad that everybody's going to have to make a choice. Are you going to go with the evil side, or are you going to go with God's side? Everybody's going to have to make that choice. Just like we were talking yesterday about the cashless society. And when there's a cashless society, they're going to force you to sign on with the New World Order, or you're not going to have any food or shelter or anything. And that's when it comes in that you've got to depend on God. And the people who say, well, you know, I'm a good person. I don't need to believe in God. I just believe in myself, except you're not going to have any ability to feed yourself or have any shelter. You're going to have to depend on God. Otherwise, there won't be, or else you're going to go with the enemy. So that's where we're going.
Certainly. Now, getting back to this cancer issue,
yes,
there is a lot more breast cancer since the implementation of mammography. And I believe, and the last time that I talked to a doctor about a mammogram, she recommended that I have one, and I said, no, I'm not going to have one. She says, well, I'm going to put it in your chart that you refused one. I said, go ahead. And I don't believe that I've ever been back to her. But I believe that there's a lot of, I think probably 90% false positives. And, so go ahead.
That's true. That's true. There are many false positives, but mammography is radiation. Why do you think everybody's concerned about Fukushima? Because it's radiation. Every time a woman has a mammogram, she increases her risk of breast cancer by 2%. Every single mammogram. So if she gets one every year, within 5 years, she has increased her risk of getting the disease she doesn't want to get by 10% just by the test. A breast exam, a manual breast exam by a physician, is just as accurate as a mammogram, and it has no risk. But let me tell you something even better. I don't have mammograms. I had breast cancer. I didn't have my either breast removed. And I have not had a mammogram for 20 years. The way you prevent your breast cancer, by the way you live, think, act, eat, and handle stress, a woman can reduce her risk of breast cancer by 77% by doing one thing that is totally free, and that is exercising 4 hours a week. If she exercises 4 hours a week, she will reduce her risk of breast cancer by 77%.
Wow.
Not only that, if you doctors don't even know that. It's in the medical literature, okay? But again, doctors don't have time to read the entire medical literature. I found this out because I was facing death.
Sure. All righty. We're going to take a 3-minute break. We'll be right back. Dr. Lorraine Day. Her websites are drday.com and goodnewsaboutgod.com. She is the author of a recently published book. It was last year. It was actually 2012, actually. And that book is Who Rewrote the Bible? And it's sitting right here next to me. I recommend
it. I have another one that is published more recently called What Does It Take to Get Well? That was on my website as well. And then I have another one that is even only been out a few months, which has the, quote unquote, non-controversial title of Who Wants Homosexuals Dead?
Oh my goodness.
And I show that the very people who are promoting homosexuality want homosexuals dead, and I show why.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yes. The very people who are promoting homosexuality actually want them dead. And so they have been conned into a lifestyle that's killing them by people who actually want them dead.
Well, that's an interesting thing.
Yes.
Indeed.
It's a different book than you will ever read anywhere else. And I was a surgeon in San Francisco during the whole, San Francisco has one of the highest incidents of homosexual population. And I took care of thousands of them in San Francisco General. And we had one of the first AIDS wards for just AIDS patients, because it was rampant, exploded in San Francisco between 1981 and all the way up to 92, 93, and it's still rampant there. But I was there during that whole explosion of the AIDS epidemic. So I know a lot about what's going on, and I show also that the head of every gay organization in America is a Jew.
Oh, I believe that totally. Absolutely.
Okay? And the lesbian organizations as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay?
Yes.
Okay. But anyway, those are the two books, as well as Who Rewrote the Bible. The Who Rewrote the Bible shows how much the translators have dabbled with it, and how I learned that when I was studying the Bible. I was an agnostic for most of my adult life. When I was dying of cancer, I realized I knew everything every other doctor knew, and I knew that we doctors don't know how to get cancer patients well, or patients with any other disease either. And so I started looking for information from someone who was smarter than I am. And even scientists have been able to deduce that God is a trillion times smarter than we are. So I was not healed miraculously, but I did have my mind open to how I could get well by totally natural methods. But, you know, we were talking about breast cancer. Mammography is bad. But there are other things that are even worse and are more encouraging of breast cancer. Number one, people don't realize that every time you have an abortion, or if you just have one abortion, it skyrockets your risk of breast cancer. An abortion, not a miscarriage, but an abortion, a forced abortion. I mean, when I say forced, you go down and have it done, but it is not a normal miscarriage.
Sure.
And I can explain that if we have some time. Why? Birth control pills. Birth control pills promote breast cancer. And the increase, massive increase in eating animal products. In 1909, when the cancer rate in America was 3%, Americans ate 200 pounds of natural grains and 200 pounds of natural potatoes, not French fries from a fast food restaurant, natural potatoes every year. By 1985, that amount had dropped in half. And the incidence of meat eating had doubled. The incidence of chicken eating had gone up 300%. The incidence of dairy product and egg eating had doubled. And now the incidence was 33%. And now people are eating even more of that stuff. And and the incidence now is greater than 50%. Another thing is years and years ago, early on in the 20th century, in the 1900s, people, if they drank a cup of coffee, it was 8 ounces, and that was one. Now people are getting, you know, 32, 64, huge amounts of coffee. The breast is a water-driven organ. It is made to produce milk. When you dehydrate it by drinking coffee, coffee is a diuretic. It takes more water out of your body than comes in with the drink. Plus, coffee contains 100 toxins. So when you drink coffee, you dehydrate your breast. When you drink caffeinated soda, you dehydrate your breast. When you take energy drinks, you dehydrate your breast. The body needs 10 glasses of water every day just to replace the water losses from the processes of daily living, even if you don't get out of bed. And so people are destroying themselves. They're also destroying themselves with fear, worry, anxiety, anger, drug, grudge holding, because these activate the fight or flight reaction, which produces adrenaline and cortisone and suppresses your immune system, plus stress dehydrates your body as well. So people by in the late 1800s, the average American ate 8.2 pounds of sugar a year. Now the average American eats 152 pounds of sugar a year. Not only does refined sugar leach the minerals out of your body, it also suppresses your immune system. It paralyzes your white blood cells so they can't fight disease. And, of course, people say, well, I don't drink sugar in my soda. But by the way, a regular 8-ounce can of soda contains 9 to 11 teaspoons of sugar. All right? Now, people say, well, I drink diet. Well, aspartame is even worse for you than sugar. So I'm saying everything everybody's doing is destroying their body. So, I mean, you can't keep doing these things and then I'll take a few herbs, you know, with my 64-ounce Starbucks.
Sure.
You can't do that and be healthy. It's like taking arsenic with a carrot juice chaser. You're still going to die.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't drink coffee. I don't drink soda. I'm very healthy. I don't do any of those things.
I believe some of your listeners probably do.
and it's unfortunate. Very unfortunate.
See, we're killing ourselves. I mean, I was a huge coffee drinker. I was a huge coffee drinker because I didn't know any better. And I was operating night and day as a trauma surgeon when we'd have gang wars in San Francisco. I mean, I've operated for 72 hours straight. Because the people came in, I couldn't just say, well, I'm tired, I'm going to go to sleep and let these people die.
Sure.
So I drank a lot of coffee. And that's one thing that contributed to my breast cancer. Not the only thing. I was taking birth control pills. I wasn't getting enough sleep. I was drinking coffee. I was eating sugar, because sugar helps keep you awake also when you have to do that. So I was destroying my body. I didn't smoke. I didn't drink. I didn't do drugs. I was destroying my body while I was doing good things for people, putting them back together when they'd been slaughtered in car crashes or attempted murder or muggings or all that. So you don't have to be doing bad things in your life, such as, you know, you don't have to be a serial killer, you don't have to be doing drugs to make yourself sick.
Exactly. That is just amazing. But the thing that you said earlier about birth control pills,
yes,
and abortions contribute, yeah, to a woman getting breast cancer.
Breast cancer, right. And the drugs they take. Many drugs cause cancer. And many drugs, even if they don't outright cause cancer, they suppress your immune system. Drug medications. I'm talking about prescribed drug medications by doctors. They cause so many other things that if you're taking drug medications, that can lower your immune system so you can't fight disease as well.
Sure. There's been some comments in the chat room.
Yes.
And one of the comments was that there are over 4.2 billion doctor prescriptions in the U.S. This equates to over 12 prescriptions per person, which is just amazing to me.
Well, and that's because people are looking for a quick fix. When I say to people, I happen to be a vegan vegetarian because all animal products promote the growth of cancer. And the people say, even people who are sick will say, I like my meat. Don't take away my meat. I said, I'm not going to take away your meat. You are in charge of whether you live or die. I'm just telling you what will make you healthy.
Absolutely. All righty. We are going to our top of the hour break. We will be back at 6 minutes after the hour. Go and drink something healthy. No coffee. No soda. Be back at 6 minutes after the hour.
Are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Speaks. Our guest today is Dr. Lorraine Day. She is the author of the recently published book, Who Rewrote the Bible? And What Does It Take to Get Well? And Who Wants Homosexuals Dead? Her websites are drday.com and goodnewsaboutgod.com. And that is intriguing. I must look at that book, Who Wants Homosexuals Dead?
I prove it very clearly who really wants them dead and how they're all being duped to their own death.
Oh, indeed, indeed.
Yeah. As I've shown when we were talking before, I showed that people are in control of their own health. Women don't have to get breast cancer. But in order not to get breast cancer, they've got to change their life. They've got to stop all of this. We have had a huge increase in the eating of flesh food. People aren't drinking water. People are eating huge amounts of sugar. People aren't exercising. These are all things that are easy to do, technically. They're only hard to do because people say, oh, I don't like to exercise. Well, then, you're going to get sick. We're
sure.
Meant to move. People say, I don't like to drink water. Well, the body is 75% water. Your brain is 85% water. One reason, one of the causes of Alzheimer's is dehydration. The brain actually shrinks because the brain is 85% water. When you don't drink water and you drink coffee and caffeinated soda and energy drinks and animal products, which also cause dehydration, then you are shrinking your brain. And there's new information now that a substance in the body, which is called brain-derived neurotrophic factor, BDNF, it's relatively newly discovered that substance is produced in the body and allows you to develop the basic infrastructure to make new neurons in your brain. It's sort of like having the cement and pavement to make the street and highway system. You need that infrastructure, and BDNF provides that. Do you know what prompts the brain to produce that? Exercise. Aerobic exercise. Yeah. All right? So the people, when they retire, they just sit around, they don't do anything, they sit and watch television, they eat a lot of sugar, they say, well, I raised my kids, and I worked hard, and now I'm going to treat myself. Yeah, you're going to treat yourself to death. All right? As I said, I'm only 3 years from 80, and I don't even want to be around people like that are just, looking towards death. I will never retire. They're going to have to shoot me and haul me out. I will never retire, okay? And I said I got just as much energy as when I was 25 or 30 years old.
And you sound like you have a lot of energy.
I do, and if you look at my website...
Tell us about the water. that we should be drink. Tell us what kind of water that we should be drinking. I drink a lot of water.
I drink distilled water, or you don't need fancy water. Just distilled water. You can get it from a water company. You can make it your own. You can buy a water distiller for $400, and it lasts you the rest of your life. And you can distill your own water, or you can do purified drinking water. I don't do spring water. I'm not against it, but you don't really know what's in the spring, okay? So
yeah.
I do distilled water. People say, oh, well, that'll leach all the minerals out of your body. No, because you're eating plenty of minerals. It's not going to leach it out of your body. So, and I've been doing it for 25 years, and I don't have any minerals leached out of my body. So,
add trace minerals to your distilled water if you feel like
well,
that
if you add those, most of those are made from inorganic things like ground up shells and stuff like that, and it can't be assimilated by the body. See, when I do a lot of juicing still. When I was sick. Everybody who suffers from cancer or any other disease is suffering from malnutrition. They're eating a lot of calories, but they're not eating the right food that will nourish their body. So you have to, when a person has cancer, you have to nourish their body as fast as possible. So I ate 3 meals of regular good vegan food a day, most of it raw because it contains the enzymes, and those are one thing that make you young and are life-giving. When you cook your food, you destroy the enzymes. You still have vitamins and minerals, but you destroy the enzymes. But then in between meals, I drank 13 glasses of fresh juice a day. Not blended fruit or vegetables, because then you have to digest all the pulp. And a person with cancer has low energy, and you don't want to spend it digesting food all day. You digest the food of the 3 meals, but then when you have juice with the pulp removed, your body doesn't have to digest that. It goes right into your bloodstream. So I drank 8 glasses of fresh carrot and apple juice, 4 glasses of fresh green leafy vegetable and apple juice, and then a glass of fresh orange juice every day. And I did that all the time I was trying to get well before I really knew what else to do besides that. That's the right diet, but the plan is not a diet, because when I was on the right diet, my tumor still grew. Not because of the diet, but because I didn't know the other things in the plan at that time. But then when I started to get well, I was still doing all these juices, and for 3 years after I got well, I still did the 13 juices a day, and then I started tapering off after 3 years after I was totally well. But I still do 4 or 5 glasses of fresh vegetable juice every day, plus a lot of water.
Okay, so you have a juicer?
Yes, I do.
Okay, yeah, I have a Jack LaLanne juicer.
Yeah, you can get well on any juicer. God knows what you can afford. I have the Cadillac of juicers since I have juiced so much. I have a Norwalk juicer. But you don't have to have a Norwalk in order to get well. It just gives you the highest amount of nutrition for what you're fixing. But, you know, this is very important, because maybe your listeners would like to know what Obamacare really is all about. I knew almost 30 years ago what Obamacare would be like. I didn't know what they were going to name it, but I already knew it was going to happen 30 years ago.
Well, tell us what it is.
It was 30 years ago. I was on a lot of national committees then when I was a professor at the medical school in San Francisco, and I was asked to be on a National Institutes of Health committee. Now, the National Institutes of Health is probably, arguably, the finest, supposedly, finest research group in the world. It has about 10,000 employees. It has lots of researchers. It gets billions of dollars of research funds from the government. And so I was asked to be on one of these committees to discuss a certain issue. At that time, in the Journal of the American Medical Association, there were a number of things being published every time that journal came out, which was consensus development conferences. And I was asked to be a member of one of these consensus development conferences. And I was flown to Washington, D.C. To discuss a certain issue with 12 other professionals. These were relatively small committees. This was on biomaterials. And I was an orthopedic surgeon on the committee, and there was one other orthopedic surgeon. They had biomaterials people. They had bioengineering people and all that. And they asked us to come back and discuss this particular issue. So in the morning we did. At noon they gave us some, you know, cold cuts and a bunch of stuff that I wouldn't even eat anyway. And then we conferred in the afternoon. And then it was time for dinner, and they told us we were to eat the same cold cuts and mayonnaise that were left out from lunchtime, which none of us would touch, you know. We said, we want to go out and get something to eat. And then I realized there's something strange going on. They said to us, the NIH people who were our babysitters, said, you're not allowed to leave the building.
What?
Yeah. I said, what do you mean? No, you're not allowed to leave the building. We were imprisoned. So we conferred some more, and then we came up with our conclusion on this particular issue they were asking us to discuss. So we handed it to the guy who was there from the NIH watching over us so we couldn't escape. And he looked at it, and he said, this is unacceptable. Go back and confer some more. So we went back and conferred some more, and then I'll tell you the end of the story when we come back.
All righty. We will be right back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors. Dr. Lorraine Day, the author of Who Rewrote the Bible? What Does It Take to Get Well? And Who Wants Homosexuals Dead? Her websites are drday.com and goodnewsaboutgod.com. And we do have some callers lining up, but please continue. Finish with
the story.
Telling us your story.
Yes.
Right in the middle of a story. We got to have the end of the story.
Well, anyway, we conferred some more, and we came up with the same conclusion. We handed it to the NIH person, and he read it, and he said, again, this is unacceptable, but it doesn't matter because we're going to rewrite it anyway. So they didn't really care. Well, we thought they were just going through the motions. They spent all that money to bring 12 of us from different places in the United States, put us up overnight, and obviously they didn't provide much food, and the food that they provided was going to kill us. And so they said, we want you all to be available at 7 o'clock in the morning for a public press conference where you will confirm what we rewrite. And I said, I ain't going to do that. And I took off on my flight. I didn't show up for their committee. But then what I thought was, why are they doing this? And because I knew other doctors who were on other NIH committees, and all these things were being published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. And I realized what they were doing was they were taking every question in medicine, in every specialty, and getting a protocol for it. Now, you already know, when you go to the doctor, the receptionist will hand you a sheet, and you'll say, you know, have you ever had this? Have you ever had that? Have you ever had the other thing? What is your family history? And then they'll ask, what are your symptoms now? Why are you here? And all that. You write it down. You fill it in on this blank. Well, there are already some doctors who are taking those and putting them through a computer, where the computer is programmed to spit out at the other end the drugs you should be on. Even alternative doctors, they have that, and they put it in a computer, and out the other end spits, oh, we'll take this herb and that herb and this vitamin and that vitamin. But the whole point is, what they are trying to do is they are trying to eliminate doctors. And they're going to do that. They're going to eliminate 98% of all doctors. And they're already starting medical clinics at Walmart. And eventually, they're manned by either physician's assistants or physicians now. But eventually, they will be manned by Walmart checkout people, men and women, who have been given 6 weeks of training, and all they have to do is learn how to take a blood pressure, take your pulse, listen to your chest, and then have you fill out the form, which goes through a computer. It will come out at the other end with the drugs you need. You will go next door to the pharmacy and get your drugs. And that is how 98% of people in America will be treated. So it will eliminate doctors, it will eliminate the middle class because financially, because Obamacare will be so expensive, and Obamacare has death panels, so people who are older, who have a lot of medical problems, will just not be treated. All right? And then, if you have a severe problem, then there will be a two-way television set in the Walmart clinic, where the former cashier now a physician's assistant, trained 6 weeks, will turn on this two-way television, and there will be a group of maybe 40 to 50 doctors in New York, and there will be several of them on call at a time. They will be able to talk to the patient. They will tell this physician's assistant what to do, and they will be able to have devices put on the heart so they can hear your heartbeat, they can hear your lung sounds, they can hear your abdominal sounds, and then they will decide whether or not you will be treated. And these doctors in New York will be all Jews.
I knew you were going to say that.
And the Talmud says that it is against the Talmudic law for a Jewish doctor to spare the life of a Gentile unless the Gentiles are still in so much control that it will cause problems with the life or safety of the Jewish doctor. But when they are totally in control, if you look at the January 10, 1963 congressional record, the 45 things they're planning to do to take over America, they're going to control America by drugs. It says that in here.
And I think they already do that to a large extent. And
if you're a dissident, they will put you in a mental hospital and give you drugs, just like they did to Forrestal, former Secretary of something, Commerce or whatever, James Forrestal, and various others have killed that way.
Sure, sure. And they do that to dissidents right now.
Right.
Or they put them in prison. They trump up charges and put them in prison.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
If you want to be well, you're going to have to learn how to take care of yourself.
Exactly.
You're going to have to learn how to take care of yourself, because Obamacare will not take care of you. They'll take your money, but they will not take care of you. You want to learn how to be well, as I am, go to my website at drday.com, drday.com, and you'll see all the information you need to learn how to get yourself well and keep yourself well, and you never have to go to a doctor.
Exactly. All righty. Let's take a phone call. Let's take William in Boston. William, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. And I had two questions for Dr. Day. The first one is, has she heard of Dr. Bruce Lipton, L-I-P-T-O-N? He's not a medical doctor. He's a biologist. But he deals a lot with epigenetics, and he puts forth the theory that it's the mind, the diet, and the environment, not your genetics, which control your destiny. And he has a YouTube video called How to Live Heaven on Earth.
Well, I've heard the name Bruce Lipton. I have not watched the video. But again, I'm not sure what he says. I didn't hear the word you said, the mind something. What did you say?
Oh, diet, mind, diet, environment.
Well, mind, diet, environment, yeah, that's fine. It's the same way as New Age, mind, body, spirit. But New Age doesn't get you well. When I first started learning how to get well from cancer, I tried 40 different types of alternative medicine, none of which worked. They're all out there. They all promote them. But those books were written either 70 years ago or 60 years ago, or they were written today about people who got well 70 or 80 years ago. But I told you that the way Americans are living now is so far removed from the way Americans lived 70 or 80 years ago that they don't work. And I tried them all, and they didn't work. On my DVD, which is in my starter package for people with disease, on my DVD, Sorting Through the Maze of Alternative Medicine, What Works, What Doesn't, and Why, I go through over 60 different types of alternative medicine, including the 40 I tried myself, and I show why they don't work. Now, mind, body, spirit is great, but it depends on what mind, body. Eastern medicine is mind, body, spirit. I started out by doing meditation and visualization, all those things. I had some really horrible experiences, all right? And so you have to decide what kind of mind, body, spirit you're actually listening to. And I discuss that in my materials. So, again, I haven't looked at his, but, just because it's mind, diet, and environment, the environment, outside your body matters very little unless you're living in Fukushima or in Kiev or Chernobyl.
Yeah, well, we all seem to be reaching the point where there's so much pollution going that we are almost. But.
Yeah, but the pollution is in our own body. It's what we put in our mouth. I mean, when you start looking at the animal products that you're eating, and they're so filthy, people would never eat animal products again if they ever went to a slaughterhouse. They would never do it. So it's the pollution that we're putting in our own minds, the way we think, listening to mainstream media, the kind of movies people go to, they're all violence and sexual degeneracy and all that. We're polluting our own bodies, not with the environment, but what we're doing to ourselves. So what was your second question? What's your second question?
Do I hear the music?
Yes, William, you're welcome to stay over. We'll be right back in 3 minutes. RBN is still running the pledge drive. If you donate $100, you will receive an RBN t-shirt and an RBN mug or 25 copper Republic of Texas rounds. You can make a donation by calling 800-724-2719. All righty, William did stay over, and you had another question?
Yeah, go ahead. Sometimes when you look around, it can be a little overwhelming. It seems like we're headed toward, we live in hell on earth, and we're headed toward even more hell on earth. And my question is, in your mind, are we destined to live hell on earth, or can we change things to create a better world? The enemy mafia, the organized crime criminals, control the money, the financial system, the media, which means all our ways of getting information, you know, the television, radio, magazines, newspapers, Hollywood, everything. And the use is to create this hell on earth. We have fraudulent medicine, fake wars, expensive polluting energy, fraudulent politics, fraudulent education, and a degenerate culture. Is truth enough to overcome this? And that's my second question. And thank you for taking my questions. I guess I'll hang up and just listen.
Thanks,
Ryan. Your question is, can we take America back? And the answer is, now again, let me explain my answer. The answer is no. We will not be able to take America back. It will continue to get worse. And people say, well then, you know, we just might as well give up. Why do we inform people of what's going on? Inform people of what's going on because you can change the life of yourself and your family. All right? So you can make it through this, all right? And the way you do that is you, number one, learn how to take care of your health. Number two, learn to trust in God for everything in your life, because we're going to need to do that. Nobody else can help you except God. Muhammad can't help you. Buddha can't help you. New Age theories cannot help you. God can help you. And so you learn to trust God with everything in your life, and you learn to live, because see, God knows everything that's going on. If you're in communication with Him, and I'm not saying you don't hear voices and all that, I'm just saying, if you know God, then, and you live your life that way, He promises to lead us into all truth, and we will know what's going to happen. We will know where to escape. I don't have any plans about I endorse everybody's right to own a gun, because that's what the Constitution says. I endorse that. However, I don't own guns, because I adhere to a different power than the Constitution, and that is, Jesus said, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. So I don't plan to kill anybody. And if I have a whole plan for storing food, somebody else is going to come with a gun to take it. But I'm not going to defend myself with a gun, because God can feed me. God can show me where I can get food. God can do all of those things for me. I trust Him, and He knows where everything is and how He can keep me alive. So the way you can do it is you can change your own life. And you know, that's when women who are in, say, difficult marriages, or men who are in difficult marriages, you may not be able to change your partner, but you can change the way you react to the situation so you don't harbor anger and grudge holding and all of that. You can change yourself. God can change you, and you can learn how to protect your family by doing these sorts of things. But we're not going to take America back. When you understand how far down the line we are and how powerful these forces are, the only thing that can combat these forces of evil is the Lord. And if you read Revelation, you'll see how that's all going to happen. This is all predicted. This is all going to happen. But it doesn't mean that we just put our head in the sand and not recognize what's going on. We need to recognize. I'm on the radio frequently. I write books. I show what's going on, because you have to understand what's going on in order to change your own life and get yourself in a better position for what's going to happen.
All righty. Thank you. All right, let's take Robert in Missouri. Robert, welcome to the program.
Hey, greetings again, ladies. You know, I'm fascinated when people talk about the Talmud. You know, if you get into the Bible, when, you know, there's a term that pops up frequently in the New Testament called the leaven of the Pharisees. And it's in a bunch of different locations, like four or five. And I don't think a lot of people understand what the leaven of the Pharisees is. It's basically this: the overturning of God's law by winking at, you know, the various ways to break God's law while they say they're keeping it. And by, Jesus said this, by your traditions you make the word of God to no effect. And that's exactly what the Talmud is. It's a codified way to overturn the laws that are laid down in the Bible, but they cloak it in like they're still following the law. And this has infected our entire planet. You know, you can look at what's happened to Catholicism, where it's basically another batch of Pharisaic traditions that have propped up. They change the Sabbath, they do all this stuff, and they say they're doing it, you know, and they're still following God's law. And with Obamacare, I had a question for the doctor. Is euthanasia, you know, like self-induced euthanasia, vasectomies, abortions, and birth control, I've heard in numerous places that this is going to be free under this monstrosity called the Affordable Care Act. Do you have any knowledge of that, doctor?
Well, first of all, let me talk about the leaven of the Pharisees. You're absolutely right. The Talmud is the written down traditions of the elders that we talked about yesterday that Jesus strongly rebuked, and it says it makes the scriptures of none effect. And this is the Talmud, which is the holiest book or books, because it's over 100 books written by rabbis, of the holiest books of the Jews. Whether they are Orthodox or secular or atheistic Jews, it still governs the way they run their life. And we talked about the Kol Nidre oath yesterday, where this is the biggest day when Jews, whether they're secular or not, or religious or not, go to temple and repeat the Kol Nidre oath, which absolves them, they feel, of all the cheating, lying, and stealing and everything else they're going to do in the coming year. So that is really what's going to be running America. And already is in the hidden secret places of those who run America, which are the Illuminati. Now, Obamacare, euthanasia, abortion, the plan for America and the world is population extermination. I have a lot of information on my website about that at goodnewsaboutgod.com. If you look on Political Truth, that link is on the homepage, and you will see that they want to reduce the population of the world from the 7 billion people or so that there are now down to 500 million. And they want to do that rapidly. And they're doing it through abortion, through disease, through the treatment of disease with drugs and chemotherapy and radiation. They're doing it through adulteration of the food. They're doing it through increased animal product eating, which are, again, I said, so filthy. They're doing it in every way they can. The people who are now full of anxiety and depression, and they're giving them things like Prozac and Zoloft, which have an increased incidence of suicidal thoughts and homicidal thoughts. They're doing it in many, many different ways. They're doing it by promoting the idea that good food is not good for you, and yet drugs are good for you. Well, here are all sorts of things like coffee is good for you. Well, that's a lie. Coffee is not good for you. Coffee will help decrease the incidence of Alzheimer's. No, coffee actually increases the risk of Alzheimer's because it dehydrates your brain. And so we're hearing all of these things where in the Bible it says in the end times, men will call evil good and good evil, and that's what we're hearing. So, yes, euthanasia is going to be a part of this, abortion, anything that will kill people will be either free or in plentiful supply.
Dr. Day, just a quick question. When you say Illuminati, who are you talking about?
The Illuminati is at least 85% Jews.
Okay.
The Council on, there are 13 bloodline, Illuminati bloodline families, and you can read more about that. That's on the internet. It's on my website. And the Rothschilds from London, who are Jews, the Rothschild family owns the, owns most of the central banks of the nations of the world. And our Federal Reserve Bank as well. And every member of the board of directors of the Federal Reserve Bank is a Jew. And so
Alrighty.
We have.
I'm sorry, but we do
okay.
have to take a quick 3-minute
All right.
break. We'll be right back. Our guest today is Dr. Lorraine Day. She is the author of the recently published book, Who Rewrote the Bible? And since then, What Does It Take to Get Well? And Who Wants Homosexuals Dead? Her websites are drday.com and goodnewsaboutgod.com. And Dr. Day will be back with us tomorrow. We have lots of questions from the chat room that we've not had time to address. And Robert, we still have Robert on the line. Did you have another question, Robert? Another comment?
Yes, ma'am. I wanted to talk about real quick and get Dr. Day's perspective on the using of the African-American population of the United States, how basically the Jewish powers that be Talmudized the black community into becoming an agitation force towards Bolshevizing this country. And if you look at the NAACP and the founding with Rabbi Stephen Wise, Jacob Schiff, Paul Warburg, and all the usual suspects, and how basically now the black community is a microcosm of how the Jewish community operates in the United States as with this status of victimhood, and anybody that criticizes anything, like let's say the president right now does, they're a racist. And you see these similar lines of thought where if you criticize anything the Israelis do, you're an anti-Semite. And it's basically, it's like they've used the black community very effectively and have duped them into basically Marxist communist ideology as a bludgeon against the larger white Christian population. I wonder what she thinks about that.
You are absolutely correct. The NAACP was started by Jews. It's controlled by Jews. Martin Luther King was controlled by Jews. He was also a communist and, of course, a philanderer and everything anti-Christian, even though he claimed to be Christian. And Martin Luther King was used by them, and then when they were done with him, they disposed of him. The slave trade was started by Jews, and of the first 9 or so slave ships off the coast of New England, 8 of them were owned by Jews. The whole chain of services to abduct blacks from Africa and bring them as slaves to America, all up and down the coast of Africa was run by Jews. And so they always, and of course, you look at Israel now. The Jews are running out of Israel, all the black Jews, the Ethiopian Jews and all that. And of course, Obama is not only black, he's a Jew. People don't realize that. His mother, his white mother, was Jewish. His maternal grandparents were Jewish. They all worked for the CIA, as did Obama when he was growing up, before he became president. They are Jews. People think, oh, he's a Muslim. Well, and he had a Muslim father. Well, that's not clear either. It looks more like his father was Frank Marshall, who was a communist, rather than the man named Obama. And so he is a black Jew, which is, of course, exactly what they want. And they want the blacks and whites to get into race riots and kill each other, while the Jews stand back and rub their hands together in glee while the blacks and whites are killing each other.
And, you know, another thing I noticed is all the major homosexual organizations, you'll always see a person of Jewish descent, or what they claim to be Jewish, at the top of these major homosexual organizations. And I wonder how that ties into your book. I don't want you to ruin the crux
I spoke of that earlier, and Who Wants Homosexuals Dead? I show that it's many other groups besides the Jews. But I show in that book, I give the leader of each of the gay organizations in America, and I show that they're all Jews.
Yeah. Right.
Lesbian and gays. Male gays and lesbians, all Jews. The leaders.
Right.
So this is another Jewish plot, and the homosexuals think that they're just, free to do what they want. They don't realize that they're being programmed. And I show what causes homosexuality. The homosexuals don't necessarily prefer that, although they have been programmed to do that. Now there are a lot of people just trying kinky things. But homosexuality is actually in place by the time a child is 2.5 years old. And it's
right.
Caused by a dysfunctional family.
Now, what about the percentage of abortion doctors? I hear that's overwhelmingly Jewish. Is that true according to your research?
I haven't looked at that, but I would not be surprised if it's overwhelmingly Jewish. I know that psychiatrists run Jewish doctors run psychiatry. I got a list of all the heads of the American Psychiatric Association from the late 1800s, actually 1844. And up until 1945 or 46, there were no Jews that were the head of that organization. But progressively, from 1944-46 on, the incidence of Jews being head of that organization has grown till, in that era, from then till now, it's about 80% Jews.
What about this new DSM-5 where they've yanked pedophilia out of the list of disorders, and now you see these news clippings to where people that are getting caught having sex with minors, it's becoming a slap on the wrist. Have you noticed this trend
as
well?
Yes, and I talk about that. That is because that's also part of the Talmud. Yesterday I talked about pedophilia is promoted in the Talmud. And so since these are Jewish psychiatrists, they're eliminating all sorts of degeneracy. Bestiality has also been removed from the list of mental illnesses. It's now an alternate lifestyle. This is what is happening. Our country is being destroyed by degeneracy and violence, and this is ever since the Jews really took over our country completely. They have had it in their grip pretty much since 1913 with the Federal Reserve Act being passed. But now, since the 60s, since they killed President Kennedy, who was against all these kinds of things. Since they killed him, they've took over lock, stock, and barrel. And you've noticed in the last 50 or 60 years how our country has just descended into pornography, degeneracy, violence, and every kind of degenerate thing. Now, you were we were talking earlier about the Illuminati, and Deanna, you asked about, you know, who really is the Illuminati. If you go on my website, A Good News About God, on the home page, I tell all the players and who they are. The Council on Foreign Relations, the Club of Rome, the Trilateral Commission, these are the people who are run by the Illuminati. 75% to 80% of those organizations are Jews.
Exactly, yes. I was just asking for the listeners.
Yes, I know you already know that, but that's right, yes.
All righty.
All right.
Oh,
well,
goodness.
Thank you for taking my call.
Well, great. Thank
you're
you,
right
Robert.
On. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you. There's a question. Let's see. Dr. Day once talked about the ICD-9 being changed to ICD-10 this year. She mentioned ICD-11. This person said, I was talking to a medical billing person and the name of ICD-11 is being changed to SNO-MET. Can you ask her to comment? We'll probably have to save that question for tomorrow.
Well, the thing is, first of all, that's just the ICD is just the compendium of diagnoses. I don't think it was me who was talking about ICD 9, 10, and 11. That may have been somebody else because I don't remember ever talking about that on a radio show or anywhere on my website. Because again, that's just increasing. They just add more and more diseases that they make up. Like, Plato heartburn, which you can absolutely eliminate by drinking water. Heartburn is eliminated by drinking water. They've made it into a disease, you know, now, gastroesophageal reflex disease, for which you have to have a medication. And they're making all of these diseases up. Chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia, they're caused by the way you live, think, act, eat, and handle stress. You can get rid of them by changing those things. So whether they're increasing the number of fake diseases or presumed diseases in ICD 9, 10, and 11, I don't really concentrate on that because we know now how to eliminate all disease. You don't have to have disease. It doesn't matter how many of those they put in the ICD. We can eliminate those by changing the way we live, think, act, eat, and handle stress. So I don't think I was the one who talked about those things.
Okay.
I don't spend time on it. No.
All righty. We've got a bunch of questions for you tomorrow, and
right.
We will talk with you tomorrow. Thank you so very much.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, listeners. Talk with you tomorrow.